The date is August 21st, 1987, and we're watching Dirty Dancing. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, is the Johnny Castle to my Penny Johnson.
Hello, I'm Colin Stewart.
I threw in a curveball. I didn't go with the obvious, a baby.
Like,
yeah.
There you go.
So, a little over a year ago, we did our episode Ghost, and we talked about this movie in Ghost because of the Swayze connection. So, we brought back our guest from Ghost. Please welcome back Marissa Dingle.
Whee!
Excited to talk some Dirty Dancing.
Excited to be a part of this one. As I said in the last time we talked about this, I love this movie.
Yeah, as soon as Colin in his intro said, we're watching Dirty Dancing, she was cheering silently in the background. So this week we're looking back at August 1987 when the movies and theaters were Can't Buy Me Love, Masters of the Universe, Born in East L.A., Episodes 12 Subject, Monster Squad, and of course our movie for today, Dirty Dancing, which earned $214.577 million on a $6 million budget. Very profitable.
Very, very profitable.
Wow.
And, of course, there will be spoilers ahead, so if you don't want this movie to be spoiled for you, like... I don't want to make an abortion joke. You know what? If you just don't want this movie to be spoiled for you, then please hit pause, go watch it, and then come back and hear what we have to say.
Oh, boy. You know, this movie also apparently the first movie to sell a million copies on VHS.
Wow.
Yeah. So not only did it crush in the theater, like fucking crush, but yeah, home video sales as well. And amazing. So, I found three taglines for the poster of this movie, three with an asterisk. The first tagline I found is, dancing to the beat of their hearts.
It's not cheesy at all.
Yeah, sure.
Well, the second one, you saw this coming. Have the time of your life.
Okay.
It gets better with the third. Here's the third tagline. First dance, first love, the time of your life.
I feel like there needs to be one that's kind of like about
like summer and like, you know, like summer dreams or something like that.
Yeah.
I know it's not a tagline, but I'm weirdly surprised that there's no mention of, you know, nobody puts baby in a corner. Nobody like, how is that not a thing?
A line that he absolutely hated to say and, like, just forced himself to do it. Like, he thought it was the stupidest line in the movie, and it's iconic.
Mm-hmm. But it is stupid. Like, it's totally random.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. But those may not be very good descriptions of this movie. Maybe of the key song, but not the movie. So let's go to Colin for a 60-second synopsis.
I fear I didn't do much better.
Yeah, nice.
But we'll see.
I love it. No, go all cliche if you have to.
During her summer vacation, after which she plans to join the Peace Corps, Frances Baby Hausman travels with her family to an upscale resort in the Catskills called the Kellermans. There, she brushes off the advances of the snooty waitstaff but falls hard for the resort's dance instructor, Johnny Castle. After Johnny's usual dance partner, Penny, finds herself unexpectedly knocked up, Baby graciously offers to pay for her abortion and takes her place as Johnny's dance partner so they don't have to miss a competition while Penny recovers. As Johnny teaches Baby the art of dance, he too starts to catch some feelings, and even though Baby is hesitant on the dance floor, she's ready to storm Johnny's castle, if you know what I mean. Penny's abortion turns out to be less than clinical, and Baby is forced to involve her dad and reveal her relationship with Johnny. Believing it was Johnny who impregnated Penny, Dr. Hausman forbids the relationship, but the two continue on in secret until a scorned adulteress who wants a little Johnny inside her frames him for stealing from guests after he rejects her. Baby reveals herself as Johnny's alibi in order to save her man, but he gets fired anyway. Johnny leaves, but returns in time for the talent show, where he and Baby have the time of their lives.
Nice. There it is. Yeah, well played, sir.
Zero subtlety. I love it.
So, Dirty Dancing, when I was younger, was a movie that my older sister enjoyed. And, I mean, in 1987, I didn't realize what the actual story was. I mean, you could have taken your 60-second synopsis from the perspective of, so it's a story about an abortion gone wrong. Now, I mean, because they really dance around it and don't really come out and say it, in 1987, I didn't know that that's what this movie was about. I was 9, but my older sister, who was 12, you know, she knew a bit more about what was going on, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, either way, back then, I just liked the shiny dance numbers, you know. I thought those parts were fun, but I had no idea anything else that was going on in this movie. And then I don't visit Dirty Dancing very much, but I mean, at a young age, I know I had watched this movie several times, but I don't think it's been recently that I've watched this movie until now. Like, it's been some time. It's been a minute. Mm-hmm. Marissa, I mean, Dirty Dancing. You were talking about this one in Ghost, and you were so excited about the prospect, and we made you wait a year and sit through two Ernest movies in order to get to this point to talk about Dirty Dancing. But worth let it. Us have it. What's your history? What's your love of Dirty Dancing?
So funny enough, my older sister is also the one that got me into this movie because it was one of her favorite movies. And well, I mean, is one of her favorite movies. So it was because of her that I even saw it in the first place. And maybe I'm a little bit biased because I am a dancer. And also, I mean, like, Patrick Swayze, like, come on.
Yeah.
But like, even Patrick Swayze. Right. Even watching it like now, I'm just like, yes, there's some things that I didn't notice as a child similar. Like, yeah, I knew that Penny was knocked up, but it didn't really click that the reason that Baby had to go in was because of this abortion. Like, I did not, that did not click for me,
nope.
But I still loved it. And yes, the dancing is like fun, but watching their relationship and watching the tension. Ah, oh, I love it. I love this movie. I love it just as much as I did as a kid.
Nice. Right on. Colin, I believe I remember your origin story, but why don't you remind me just in case I'm wrong? I believe you've only seen this movie recently, but you have seen this movie before, correct? Okay.
Yeah, I have seen it, and the reason I watched it was actually because I saw the stage play first. It rolled through here, I think, in Broadway across Canada, like, a few years back, and I had season tickets or whatever. So,
yeah.
So I went to see it. And I mean, like, Dirty Dancing, of course, it's like one of those movies you always hear about,
mm-hmm.
Like I find with a lot of movies. But I had never watched it, probably because, I don't know, I am a man, I guess. And I feel like a man is, like, as sexist as this may sound, a man is only going to get introduced to this movie through a woman.
Yeah.
Because it's just nothing, like, I was even thinking around the time it came out, it's like Top Gun, you know, Crocodile, like Dundee, like all these a testosterone movies that, you know.
Crocodile Dundee, you put Crocodile Dundee on that list. Okay, fair enough, sure.
I'm just saying,
that's not a knife, that's a knife. Yeah, okay. I mean,
I'm just saying, I don't know that many, I can't think of a single guy I know who who was like, oh man, like you haven't seen Dirty Dancing, you gotta watch it.
Yeah, I've never seen a Magic Mike movie because my girlfriend, exactly, thankfully, like... is not someone that has introduced me to that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Sean did introduce me to Ghost, so.
Well, you're welcome.
But, yeah.
See,
but yeah,
my feminine influence is from my older sister. I mean, I do have to say that I would play with her strawberry shortcakes or her My Little Ponies. And so the sappy movies, she was a young teenage girl. And so I know some things because my wall shared hers. Yeah.
So yeah, I watched the movie first, or the play first, sorry. And then I'm pretty sure I actually watched the movies that made us. And then I was like, man, this movie seems really awesome. Yeah. And then I watched the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, it's a very recent watch for me, but I love this movie.
Now, the stage version is one that I haven't seen. How much does it differ? Like, is there a abortion storyline through Dirty Dancing, the stage musical as well?
Yeah, like, from what I recall, it's the exact same premise.
Okay.
There's just, because it's stage, there's, like, a lot more...
Singing of our feelings.
Yeah, and a lot more, like, dancing, I think, like, musical numbers and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, right on. Well, here we go. Buckle up. Let's jump into Dirty Dancing. Let's do a spinning jump, full 360 jump into Dirty Dancing, directed by Emile Ardolino, produced by Linda Gottlieb, and written by Eleanor Bergstein, who only has 4 total credits. And one of the other ones is Dirty Dancing Live, which she gets the Based On credit for that one. So, you know, she's not really much of a screenwriter normally, so look at her. I'm surprised she didn't get a Based On, though, for, like, Dirty Dancing Havana Nights.
Colin, that's what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah, Colin, have you ever seen Havana Nights?
No, I have not. Although I do remember seeing, for whatever reason, maybe it's 2004 and I was watching a lot of YTV and Much Music, but I remember seeing a lot of trailers for it. But again, I had no reference point to the original Dirty Dancing, so it was not of interest to me.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose the Havana Nights doesn't get the Based On because there's no carryover characters.
Yeah. It's, I was going to say, it's kind of in theory. It's like it's like spiritual successor only. Like, not...
Yeah. Yeah, it's like Tokyo Drift, you know? Yeah, or, except basically. I guess Dominic still shows up in that one for like 5 seconds at the end, but...
Maybe the bar that they work at in Havana is called Johnny Castle's.
That's right. Yeah, see, it could be. Yeah. Got some sort of cocktail situation going on with Patrick Swayze flipping bottles. Another Roadhouse situation, actually. That's what there was one point in this movie where Patrick Swayze picks the fight with Robbie. And I'm like, whoa, careful, dude. Like, this guy rips throats out. You don't want to pick a fight with this guy.
Oh, yeah.
So we open this movie with the, you know, Be My Baby and the voiceover from Frances Baby Houseman, played by Jennifer Grey, who... Oh, sorry. But actually, before we get to that, sorry, we have the opening credits. I can't overlook the opening credits where it's filmed in slow motion, where it kind of looks like an orgy. I'm not going to lie.
That's what I thought, too.
Like, it's a very sexy opening. It sets up the tone. And looking in my notes here, I have, you know, because I do voice to text, it says the opening is filmed almost to look like an O star star star. And then it has me saying, really, you're starring out O star 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 question mark. So I guess it censors the word orgy. And I watched this movie when I was 9 years old. You know, it's... I had no idea what was going on.
I mean, I actually think this movie... I wonder, I guess, if it plays better now than it did when it came out. Just because, like... I don't know. I feel like even for the 1980s, having an abortion through line and the dancing is, like, dry hump... Like, it's literally dry humping at points.
Yeah.
And... You know, it just seems more scandalous than I would imagine would be enjoyed in what in like the puritanical 80s, but maybe things had loosened up then.
Yeah, that's the kind of dancing that was banned in Footloose.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean this place is very waspy. You know, it's a very square kind of resort.
I was I was gonna put in my 60-second synopsis that they were traveling to a whites only resort, but
hey, there were a couple of black people dancing, so there's a couple black people that worked there at least.
Yeah,
you know, his right hand man on the stage, the band leader guy.
True, the entertainment.
Yes, and we also get Newman. I mean, when they get to the resort, we got Newman with his megaphone talking about all the activities.
Yeah, that was weird to me seeing wait, it's Wayne Knight, right?
Yeah, Wayne Knight.
Yeah, because he's just forever Newman in my brain. I can't divorce him from that character, but
no.
Clearly this is at the beginning of his career.
Yeah, definitely.
I do find I really like the soundtrack of this movie, and I really enjoyed how every song fits what's happening in it, like during the scene.
Yeah.
And as I watched the movies that made us, and in that Eleanor Bergstein talks about how basically this movie was made like title, music, then story was written, because she like had all the like every song selected, because this movie isn't based on her life, but it's like loosely based on her. Like, she was called baby until she was 20 years old or something, she said. Oh. She went to a resort in the Catskills. She liked dirty dancing. But yeah, she was very particular about the music that she wanted in the movie. And
it is very odd though that the soundtrack is 50s and 80s. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it is weird that they blend that together, because, I mean, like, Hungry Eyes, that is clearly not a 50s song.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird that it like bounces back and forth. Yeah, and She's Like the Wind. Patrick Swayze himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's the budget or whatever was, like, $4 million. And I mean, judging by the fact that Jennifer Grey only got paid $50,000, I think the majority of the budget went to the music.
Yeah.
Royalties.
That makes sense. Okay, so we got to throw in a few original tunes there just to try to balance that out. Mm-hmm. We don't have to pay Patrick Swayze as much as we have to pay like Frank Valli.
Yeah. Also, you should have introduced Emil Ardolino as Oscar winner. He was an Oscar winner. He won an Oscar for a documentary.
Oh,
about kids learning how to dance, and that's why they picked him for this movie.
Oh, that makes sense. Wow.
He's also the one that convinced them to go after Patrick Swayze, because on Swayze's acting resume he put that he didn't want to do dancing. Mm-hmm. Even though his mom was a dancing instructor, but he had suffered a knee injury playing football, and so he's trying to like divorce himself from dancing and only going into acting. But Emil was like, no, he he's a dancer, right? Like, he can do it, because they weren't even going to ask him, because they just saw on his resume that he'd put no dancing at all.
Well, apparently Val Kilmer was offered this role before he was, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I know when they did the test, like the final four were basically Billy Zane, Patrick Swayze, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Jennifer Grey. And if you watch the movies that made us, there's a clip of Billy Zane dancing, if we want to call it that. But it's like, I don't know. It's indescribable. If I was him and I saw that footage exist, I would have paid tens of millions of dollars to have it destroyed.
Need to check this thing out.
Well, with Jennifer Grey and Patrick Swayze, apparently the movie they had done before together was Red Dawn, and they really did not get along on Red Dawn. So there was a lot of friction on the set here, too. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, he convinced her to, you know, be part of it, and then they stop getting along all of a sudden, and so...
Yeah, there's, like, the clips when they're doing the dancing where she starts laughing and he looks super pissed off. That's all real. Yeah. That was just, like, the director just let the camera roll and decided to use it.
Yeah. And apparently the Mickey Sylvia song was also them just warming up for the day. And they happened to have cameras rolling. And
really?
They just went with it. Yeah, like, it was Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey playing around.
Oh, wow. If that's true, that's amazing. Because to me, that like, I know people, like, they're like, the lift at the end is like, but I find that scene to be probably my favorite scene of the whole movie.
Yeah, yeah, it's a really good one. And I have to say that when Patrick Swayze is lip-syncing things, I mean, he turns up that sex appeal a notch there. You know, the old Kinsey scale at the Wells household starts sliding a little bit. Especially the end one where he's like, you know, where he's lip syncing to "I've had the time of my life." It's like, oh, man. But I can't get over how much he looks like Chris Farley.
Sorry, what?
He has such a resemblance to Chris Farley. And it's interesting because, you know, famously they did the SNL skit together where they're both trying out as Chippendales dancers. And I've thought that they look alike, just the face, right? I mean, it is just the face that I'm talking about, but some of the things that Patrick Swayze does, I totally get a Chris Farley vibe off of. He's chiseled Chris Farley.
I mean, I'm really trying to see it.
Yeah,
I I don't know. Maybe you have to watch the Chippendales sketch to see them dancing.
Oh, I'm looking at pictures of it.
Yeah, but to even just see them
maybe in this one,
yeah,
I can see it a little bit.
Well, because I don't know if you can see that, but that's the skit he's talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know if I see it.
I don't know. Like, I think it's a stretch still, but
I don't know. I'll do a side by side when this episode comes out in our stories and get a poll.
It's kind of like a magic eye where if you know what you're looking for, then you can kind of convince your brain to find it.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, Chris Farley is if you left Patrick Swayze out in the sun, you know, and melted a little, but the face is still there.
I was going to say, maybe if he, like, you know what? Never mind. I don't want to say it. Yeah, I was going to say it, but just cut it out. I was going to say, it's like Chris Farley is Patrick Swayze. If Patrick Swayze, like, fell off a boat and wasn't found for a few days, then maybe, like...
Oh, washed up, bloated in a marina, Patrick Swayze.
Hey, listen, I was thinking, like, the same... I was there. Dude, I was there.
All right, good.
It's Patrick Swayze in the Dick Tracy universe.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, Dick Tracy.
Yeah, it would be interesting if they made a movie like this. Like, watching this movie, I get Friday the 13th vibes, too. Like, I'd love to see this movie made with a slasher going around as well. Yeah.
Johnny Castle ends up being a murderer.
Yeah. Well, the little old lady, even. The ones that were thieves. The little old couple. Yeah. Yeah, even them.
It does, like, I mean, you could make a case that the B plot of this movie is Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
And that's all, like, happening in the background. Like, if this was set at Camp Crystal Lake.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, you know, like, Friday the 13th, you never see the camp open. But, I mean, imagine if they actually had victims, but they were being silently dispatched. Oh, yeah.
I would pay just to see Johnny Castle do some sort of jumping spin kick dance move, knocking the knife out of Jason's hand or something.
Yeah, pull that throat out, spike it on the ground. So, Baby goes off at dusk to look for the big house. She wants to see the big house. And we get to meet the entertainment staff. So we get to meet Johnny Castle. He's the outlaw bad boy of the entertainment staff. I mean, he's no nonsense, comes in, tells Mr. Kellerman just how it is.
Mm-hmm. I kind of thought there was going to be more of a, like class warfare, Romeo and Juliet type story to this movie.
Yeah.
I couldn't exactly remember what type of, how their romance is, but I thought it was going to be more like, oh, he's a bad boy from the wrong side of the tracks, and they, like, run in different circles and all that stuff. Not just, like, you know, eventually her dad just gets mad at him because she, of kind of, like, mistaken circumstances.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of starts out that way, though, a little bit, because even when the owner, like, brings her around, he's like, what is she doing here? Like, there was a little bit of that clash, and there was, like, subtleties towards it, but you're right, it definitely wasn't, like, a focal point of the story.
Well, Mr. Kellerman is a bit of a pimp, too, just trying to get his...
Yeah. All his patrons laid.
Yeah, yeah.
Even the dogs. That conversation was so uncomfortable.
Yep. Welcome to the 50s.
Yeah. Do you guys feel like you would have done well if you're, like, a rich New Yorker in the 1960s doing, like, country club lifestyle?
I don't know. I mean, it's like 3 weeks of that. I went to
I know,
Mexico
I was trying to
for
think,
like yeah. for 10 days, and I thought 10 days was enough. 3 weeks at this place, and it was raining half the time.
Yeah. I was going to say, once, like, I remember in Mexico, like, once I realized they just cycle through the same entertainment every week, mm-hmm. you're kind of like, oh, I don't know how much longer I can do that.
Well, and, like, what an elaborate end-of-year show they have put on. I mean, those sets are nicer than some of the sets I've worked on with community theater in town. Mm-hmm. And this is an end-of-season show. They've been there 3 weeks, and they're putting on a show? Like, get the fuck out of here.
You know? It's like the most planned open mic night ever.
Yeah. It's incredible. And they just try on wigs, like that. That's one of the activities, is sitting around trying on wigs.
Yeah.
I was telling my wife as I was watching this that watching this movie makes me understand, like, why really conservative white people are so mad, because it's like, yeah, you want the 1960s because at this point they'd, like, reached the mountaintop. It was like, you won. This is life. Like, you got everything that you wanted in life.
You got the victory lap.
you got your sweet country club, your nice cars, your good clothes. You're all doctors. You got your nuclear family with your virginal daughters.
Your back alley abortion. You know,
it's just like, yeah.
Oh wait, sorry. No, that's the bad part of the '50s.
And now everyone's trying to take it away from you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because I wasn't alive back then, Colin.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, find me this country club now where they sit around singing Kumbaya and shit. You know? I don't know. It's like summer camp for adults. Or yeah. Summer camp for families is what this place is.
Yeah.
Is there such thing?
Oh, yeah, there's adult summer camps.
Is there family summer camps, though?
I don't know about family. I don't know if they're, like, really for families, but I remember... what's his name? Like, Michael Rosenbaum, he used to advertise this one that I can't remember what it's called now, but it looked pretty sweet.
Yeah, that one I knew about. I knew about the adult, but, like, this, like I said, this is essentially a family summer camp. Like,
you got kind of like having a cabin at the lake, but where everybody is there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that, like, it looks the most like, well, it is a resort. I guess I just never considered, like, that there were resorts in the United States. I always think of a resort as something you leave
Mexico,
to go to, like, Mexico or Cuba or Jamaica for, like, that type of thing. Like, and just thinking, like, how much, if it is in, you know, New York State, how much does the stay cost at this place? Cool. Must be insane.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's why it's all hoity-toity rich clientele.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why the best doctors and lawyers and everything are there, and the weird scummy guys that it's like, what are you, are you guys gangsters? The one guy that he's like, hey, you go take care of my wife, Johnny Castle, you know, and he's like,
I don't know. Like,
Like, what is his job? I think that man's in sanitation, if you know what I mean, you know?
Also, his wife is hot.
Yeah. Like, yeah, well, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's definitely, he's aiming high. Like, he's got a, yeah, she's slumming it.
Yeah. I feel the unsung hero of this movie is Johnny's cousin. I don't even remember what his name is, but
the watermelon
I really thought,
guy?
Like,
is that the watermelon guy? Okay.
I really thought, like, maybe someone would throw him a bone. Like, maybe he'd get the sister or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of just disappears, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and we focus on Robbie the scumbag instead.
Yeah. Because he's there for, like, when Baby comes to tell Johnny where Penny is, and then, like, you never see him again. That was it.
Yeah, I almost feel like Penny should have ended up with him. Like, she should have seen, like, oh, he's a good guy after all, because he seems like he's mostly there to take care of her.
Well, I mean, I will definitely say that when I was younger, I didn't really even understand who Penny was, because there isn't enough interaction between Baby and Penny. It would be nice if there was a little bit more Penny in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get her to get up and sing a funny song with a yodely voice, and, you know, that's her star moment in the movie. Or not, sorry, not Penny. I'm thinking,
I was gonna say, you're talking of Lisa.
Sorry, I'm thinking Lisa. Fuck. Mm. Yeah. No, I would have liked more of the sister in the movie. Yeah. No, I think there was enough Penny in the movie. I think.
I mean, but she was just kind of there. Like, there was no, like, development of Penny, I think, is...
Yeah.
I would have liked more of.
Well,
yeah, like, I kind of would have liked to see that she got a happy ending at the end.
Yeah.
Of the movie, like...
True.
Because it seems like she had a tough life.
Yeah, like, Penny's the whole reason that this happened, so, like... It's just like, oh, yeah, oh, we need a distraction. Let's enter Penny. Like, that was just like, she was just like thrown in there in the mix just to be there, I guess.
Yeah.
It's kind of how it felt to me.
Are we supposed to presume that she is an alcoholic in the beginning as well?
No.
No.
Why? Like
there is one comment in there about, you know, they say something about Penny is taking a nap, and they make such an emphasis on it. Yeah, no, Penny's just off taking a nap. Is this part of her situation? Or, like, it just the way that they said it, it implied that she's been drinking on the job or something.
Yeah, the way that I took that is that she needed to take a break because of the baby, but they can't find out she's pregnant, so they're like, oh, yeah, she's just taking a break.
Oh, okay.
That's how I took that. However, when they go to sit with her, he does hand her a glass of, like, whiskey or something. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Probably shouldn't do that. I know that you're going to, like, you know, get rid of it, but, like, still.
I know it's the 50s, and I know you're white, but come on. you're not that privileged. So, yeah, Baby, boy, her lady bits just start tingling when she sees Johnny for the first time. And she ends up following, and she, you know, she helps carry a watermelon, but that's her line. I carried a watermelon.
And then instantly regrets it.
And then instantly regrets it. But my God, I gotta say, Johnny Castle, that man, what a baller exit he has. When he just, like, he grinds up all on Baby and then turns, spins her, and then he's fucking gone like Batman.
I thought that was such a dick move, though. Thanks for letting me, you know, like, twerk, like, not twerk, like, thanks for letting me grind on you, bye! Like, I'm not even gonna be like, thanks, or have a good night. Nothing?
Yeah, no.
Dink?
No, he just fucking dropped the mic on that dance is what he did.
Ghosted. That was the first ghosting.
I was another thing that about this movie that kind of I felt was weird for the 80s is you don't really see, I feel like Baby is kind of the aggressor in the relationship, like in pursuing the relationship, which is kind of uncommon. But I mean, I also think it's like, I feel a thing about Dirty Dancing is that we all know it as kind of this like huge hit movie, like, and I would refer to it as like a big movie. But it's really like an indie film.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's a like cheap
it's not
movie.
Like a yeah, like it's not a massive, you know, big budget studio movie. It's more like it kind of just became that based on its own merit.
Yeah.
You don't think a $4 million budget is a big budget?
It was $6 million. $6 million.
Oh, sorry. You don't think a $6 million budget is big?
Well, you know, if they're watching the actual budget drop every time, they're like, "Hey, we got Wipeout, guys." Oh, it's another $500,000 out of the budget.
I mean,
I would be willing to guess that the average budget of a I don't know what would be akin to this, like a movie with like minimal effects in the 80s is probably like 15 to 20 still.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
Yeah. Or maybe 10 to 15. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe not. You know, every week on this show, I say what a budget
anybody
of a movie
has.
Was. And you think that I can remember a damn one of them right now? No, not at all. What's funny is Monster Squad, which was in theaters at the same time, I remember being a ridiculously low budget, like only like, you know, $1.5 million or something like that.
Well,
I imagine 6 is actually not that far off for just a rom-com.
Yeah, I just feel like, especially for like back then, I feel like that is a relatively large budget.
Yeah.
Like, I get where you're trying to go with that, but I'm just like, but it is a big budget, or at least it feels like it.
Yeah. Yeah, you just rent out a summer camp somewhere, and
I mean, really, there wasn't a lot of sets. It was all outdoors.
Yeah. A lot of it was outdoors.
18 million.
18 million for what?
Was the average film budget in the 1980s.
Okay. All right. Color me wrong. All right.
But that's film budget overall, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that's not by genre. So I mean that includes something like
more,
you know, well, CGI, but you know, Die Hard or Predator or something like that.
Interesting.
But still, yes, this is on the lower side for sure. And it was all for music.
Well, but the actors are different. I was going to say Pretty Woman was $14 million.
Okay.
Okay.
But I mean, she was shopping on that Rodeo Drive.
Ghost was $22 million.
Oh,
but geez. Again, that's post
special effects. That one's heavy special effects. I mean, you had to make digital Patrick Swayze in that one.
trying to find a comparable movie. Okay, Ferris Bueller's Day Off was $5 million.
Okay, there we go. But John Hughes always does his cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't really like creepy Neil Kellerman. That character, he's a sleazy one.
He's ick.
He's very ick. Now, is that just to make Johnny look that much more appealing?
I mean, I think it's a contrast, but I also think it's, like, very real. Probably especially back then.
Oh, no. My uncle says that I'm perfect for you.
I mean, I feel like it's kind of just, like, that whole family is a little gross.
Yeah.
But I definitely think it's like Neil's whole thing is like he's kind of the one that like, I mean, I guess to go to the class thing, it's like, well, he's the one like she should maybe be with because he's going to Harvard or whatever it is, and he's, you know, he's from a rich wealthy family and blah blah blah. But to the movie's credit, it kind of shows that like, oh well, those people are still garbage and trash, even though that the people they think are garbage and trash are actually upstanding.
Mm-hmm.
What's the older Kellerman's name? The guy who owns the place?
Max.
Like, yeah. Are we under the impression that baby's dead? Like, Dr. Hausman, like, saved him from a heart attack? Are they getting a free ride at this place? Or?
Well, they're getting a free meal, which also tells me that this place is not all inclusive. So they're stuck living there, and they have to pay for each meal individually?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems like a, well, I mean, I guess if you're rich, what do you care? But
rich,
that
in
seems
the 50s,
like a raw
yeah.
deal for me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know whether he saved him from a heart attack or, like, you know, changed something about his habits that prevented a heart attack.
Yeah.
But yes, he's an amazing doctor. That's all that matters. Yeah.
The only thing that was said at the beginning was something along the lines of, you know, it's because of him that I'm even here or something. So there was something, obviously.
That's true.
That the doctor did.
Yeah, he has the awkward line of saying, without your father, I would be standing here dead.
Yeah.
Which doesn't, was like a strange, hmm.
a strange mental picture to me.
Yeah, he maybe he was on the set that day with his script going, are you sure this is right? Are you sure this isn't a typo? Whatever. That's the job of an actor. You got to sell it.
Yeah. That's all. Maybe that was the inception of zombies. Who knows?
See, you could have a slasher flick. See, a zombie flick too.
Dirty Dancing Living Dead.
That's right.
$1 million idea, guys. Let's go.
I will say one of my favorite things about the character of Dr. Hausman is that he's such an old school doctor that he carries his medical bag with him at all times.
Yep.
Was this
he
an expectation?
Bed.
Yeah. Like, was this an expectation for doctors in the 1960s that you were just a doctor 24/7 no matter where you go, you must bring your tools?
Yeah. Like, can you imagine going to like a some sports event and, oh, gotta take my bag. Just in case.
And also, like, I don't know what the fake MD did to Penny, but I find it really hard to believe that even someone with the skills of Dr. Hausman could make everything okay just in, like, just in a cabin bed and not in a hospital.
Well, maybe the bag is like a Mary Poppins bag.
He just pulls...
pulls out an IV.
Here's my gurney. Yeah.
That's right.
Pulls out a whole hospital staff.
That's right. But yes, this underground abortion, though, is the whole reason for everything in this movie. It is like the cornerstone for everything, because that's why Baby has to learn the dance routine. That's why Baby has to, like, betray her father's trust. That's, you know, like, it just... And I had no idea when I was nine years old in 1987, you know?
Yeah, it was real funny, because even rewatching it, I was just like... But why? How did... Like, I genuinely couldn't recall. So I clearly was clueless.
Yeah. So much of this movie is montages, though. That's for darn sure. We jump from one montage to another in this movie. Sometimes it feels like there's not even a break in between. So I can understand why this movie is just ripe for musical numbers.
Oh, yeah.
In the musical, are the... songs the same? Does someone sing She's Like the Wind? I assume I've Had the Time of My Life is in there, but
I cannot tell you. I don't remember.
Fair enough.
Anything about it.
See, I'd like to see the practice of balance on the log. I'd like to see that live on stage. Do you remember if that happened?
No.
I would
guarantee that's cut.
Yeah. It looks so dangerous.
Well, especially because I don't know if you guys noticed, but it's not even like the log over like a river. So if they fell in, they'd be like protect. It was land. So if they fell, they're like broken ankle for sure.
Yeah. You can't get like, you know, a 2x4, a log on the ground. Your point is still made, even if there isn't the risk of danger.
Yeah, the dancing training montage to me, for, I don't know, maybe it's because I've watched a lot of Cobra Kai over the last few years, but it was like very reminiscent to me of Karate Kid and like training martial arts.
Mm-hmm. Like it is the Cobra Kai style, not the Mr. Miyagi style. That's for sure.
The one part of Johnny's I did call a little bit bullshit on was there's that one when they're training for the competition, it ends with that like hop over, like lunge and then back bend. And he flips out at her because he's like, "Oh, you hurt my back!" And he's like, "But I was like, what? She has no control over you there. Like, what are you talking about?"
I have thought that exact same thing every single time I watch it.
Yeah, yeah. There's a better move you could be making that comment on. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I can understand broken toes because boy, she can't remember to go on two.
But or like his arm's behind her back. That would make sense, but yeah, no.
I will say that I fell in love with Jennifer Grey watching this movie. I don't know if she replaces Jennifer Connelly as my 1980s number one, but man, is she gorgeous in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, and then she fucked her face up in the future. Oh, she got some major plastic surgery and she does not look like her. Kind of like Renee Zellweger. Yeah, she's one of those really messed up plastic surgeries.
Yeah, my wife was telling me that, like, after Dirty Dancing, she was worried that the shape of her nose would prevent her from getting other roles, which I didn't understand at all. Mm-hmm. So she got a nose surgery, and the first one was messed up. And then she had to get a second one, and the second one was... It made her look so different that nobody recognized her.
Yeah.
So she would go to audition as Jennifer Grey, and people were like,
"Get
where's
the fuck
Jennifer
out
Grey?
Of here!" Yeah. She was on a sitcom called "It's Like You Know," and I remember that was the debut of her new face. And it's like, oh, that's not Jennifer Grey. That's not Ferris's sister. That's what I thought it. But yeah.
It's I also didn't know she was married to Clark Gregg. What a good guy, Clark Gregg.
Yeah. Yeah, he's
They
cool
got divorced
shit.
Now, but, I mean, they were married for a while.
Yeah, when she was supposed to do press for this movie, she and then-boyfriend Matthew Broderick were over in Ireland, and that's when they were in an accident that killed two people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've read about that.
So she never did press for this movie because of that. Yeah.
And somehow, like, Matthew Broderick, and keep in mind, it was his fault. Like, he crossed the lane and, like, basically sent these people's car, like, careening off, and they died, a mother and daughter, they died. And for his trouble, he had to pay a $175 fine, which seems, I don't know, what, like...
That seems a little on the low side.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, just a little on the low side.
Not to smash Matthew Broderick's, you know, good guy image, I suppose.
I know, that's true.
It's a little odd.
Yeah. So after they learn balances and start to learn the steps and she remembers to always stay on her toes, they have to practice the lift. Man, you know, with the shows that I've done over the years, I've had enough of these moments where it's like, and we'll do that part later. Like, what a shitty way to do this routine by learning the lift 2 days before.
Yeah, if anything, that's probably the first thing you should ever learn.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, guys. I mean, so there's something to be said for when the pressure's on and you have to do something. Whereas when you start at the beginning, people are always kind of like, you know, we'll figure it out by the end. I think there's merit sometimes to saving it till later. Like,
yeah,
you know.
The pressure,
yeah,
I feel
some
like...
things. The things that are so technical and dangerous and whatever should be the first thing that you learn so that you can get it really solid by showtime. Things like a fucking chasse pas de bourrée, you can learn 2 days before.
Okay, now, because I'm not a dancer, what is a woman actually doing in a lift like that? Like,
tightening
what
their
what,
body.
Like, what is it that makes her do it or make it easy for him?
Nothing. It's literally just finding the balance. So as long as you're like keeping everything up and tight and like so that if like her shoulders drop, then she's gonna lean forward and plummet. If she loses her ab control, then she's gonna lean forward and plummet. It's just
yeah. She just has to
feel tight.
She just has to be like straight as a log.
Okay. Yeah. It feels like a lot of this is him being unable to do it as well because she's not helping. Right. I don't know. I understand.
She would need to jump. Like Marissa was going to say, if her core is not tight, his hands are just going to go right into her guts.
Okay.
So she's just going to fold over. So she has to be like as straight and basically like as tense, for lack of a better word, as possible, to basically make it so she's like, it's like weightlifting. Okay. Like, yeah, her forward upward motion will give him the ability to help him lift, but in terms of her staying up, it's she needs to stay as like straight and still as possible for him to find the balance.
So shouldn't there be a part of the training montage then where she's just working abs?
Yes.
Well, I mean, come on. You can see in that one scene, she's got a six-pack on. Like, she's ripped.
She does. No, but, I mean, that's all I'm saying is that, like, it doesn't come off just as she's not stiff enough for this. It comes off as she's doing something else wrong as well in this lift. And that's just all I'm saying. So that's why I wanted to clarify that. So I understand if it's a, yeah, she's not.
Well, here's the thing. Because any lift that you do, you want to do, like, you want to do it with like just her on the floor being like, okay, this is what your body is going to do when he lifts you. So technically, yes, they could have thrown in a part of the montage where she's laying on the ground. They're like, okay, arms straight up, reach back, like don't move them forward, like do this and then lifts up. Like they could be, but nobody wants to see that. So they're like, just skip it.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I also don't mind baby being in the water in that white outfit either.
Of course you don't.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody did.
Yeah. But I have to say, coming back from the water, Colin, we've got another bad driver in Patrick Swayze. with his Cadillac. He's not very
he's a bad driver twofold, because he also like locks his keys in the car and then smashes his own window, right? Which he doesn't even repair by the end of the movie.
Well, I guess it's makeshift, I guess.
Yeah. But you know, that Cadillac, why don't I talk about it a bit more in Sponsorship Corner? So always on the lookout for product placements in movies. This week, Dirty Dancing, there weren't many, that's why I had trouble getting in, is brought to you by Miller and Pabst Beers, Coca-Cola, Chevrolet and Cadillac, and MG Record Players. And, of course, the fictional Kellerman's Mountain House. And this has been Sponsorship Corner. And Back Alley Abortions, also brought to you.
Wait, guys, I have breaking news.
Oh? Okay.
Did you guys know that Havana Nights is a prequel?
Really?
No.
Not a sequel?
Interesting.
And also, Swayze does appear in it, like Dom Toretto, so it is canon.
Holy shit. I have never actually seen Havana Nights. It's an audio format, Marissa. You have to say something. You can't just sit there looking stunned. I was worried, too, as I was saying that your screen had actually frozen.
I mean, in fairness, there was an audible gasp and then nothing. So,
yeah, okay. Yeah.
Wow. See, now I kind of want to watch it.
It's a Patrick Swayze I haven't seen. And I've even seen Christmas in Wonderland.
It takes place in 1958. And Patrick Swayze actually appears as a dance teacher who teaches a class for like the female lead in the movie.
Oh, my. Interesting. I wonder if it's more than just a cameo. Like, I wonder if it's actually, like, I don't know, as big a role as, say, like, Lisa was or something, you know? Mm. Is he at least, you know, as involved as Newman was in this one?
That I'm not sure. apparently, not to go off on a tangent here, but Natalie Portman was offered the role of the lead in this movie, of the female lead, and Ricky Martin, I'm trying to remember, this was filmed in 2004, was offered the male lead. What an interesting movie that would have been.
Interesting. And who is it?
There are people I've never heard of.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So it really launched their careers.
One is Diego Luna.
Oh, okay.
I've heard of him.
I've heard of him. I can't name a Diego Luna movie, though.
He's Andor.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then the female lead was Romola Garai. why. But I don't. Yeah.
I know. As a child, I used to have the Romola Guile posters up on the wall. And... Huge fan. You know, with the Schumachers, apparently Dr. Ruth was offered the role of Mrs. Schumacher. Yeah, that Dr. Ruth. Yeah.
Okay, cool. We're on the same page. That's great.
But she didn't like that the character was a thief, so she turned it down.
Okay. All right, yeah. Sure, I guess.
Oh, wait, I realized that the driving, Johnny Castle's driving, that's not after they come back from the lake. That's after they're coming back from the competition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was it was a competition or was it just a showcase?
The showcase. It's a gig that they have every single week.
Okay.
And if they didn't show up there, then they'd lose their residency.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah. See, that's something. I thought it was a competition that they were entering.
I had completely forgotten that the last dance takes place at a talent show.
Yeah.
I thought it was higher stakes than that.
Yeah, no.
I did too.
Johnny always gets the last dance of the season. See, that's what makes it higher stakes. Is it's the last dance of the... He's sticking up to the man. But in this case, the man realizes that his ideas are antiquated and that he has to change. And so they bring in this song that's not actually a song from the 60s to play at the end. And it's like, ooh, I like this. This is what Kellerman's is going to be from now on.
Okay, so here's my main question. And I, you know, dance away, my guy. You do a great job. But, like, did nobody find it a little bit bizarre that not a single person even tried to stop them? He's like, first of all, he's fired, so why he is even there? And two, he's like, this is the dance that I told you to do, so why are you trying? Like, nobody even attempted. Nobody was being, like, held back, like, nothing. No attempts were made.
Yeah.
Well, what they don't show you, Marissa, until the flash mob starts, is that Johnny rolled up with an army of dirty dancers.
From the basement.
Okay.
And they held the like workers uprising at Kellerman's and he
took baby and had his final dance and then they proceeded to just pillage the entire resort.
I mean, I've seen West Side Story. Right? West Side Story takes place in New York. Those guys might go somewhere else for the summer. They might have summer jobs.
I did think it was a little odd when the flash mob starts. You don't see those guys rehearsing.
Yeah.
So how did they, like, but they were really in on all the choreography. Like, how did they know what to do?
They just know. They just know.
It's just the rhythm is in you.
It is. That's the thing, yeah. When you're part of that weird orgy party that they had going on in the cabin, you know, you somehow, like, just transfer all that hive knowledge. Oh, yeah. It's no problem.
Yeah, I feel like the basement dancers are kind of like the cordyceps clickers in The Last of Us, for a timely reference.
Oh, okay.
Where they're all just like bonded by fungi spores that tell them all where each of them are and what to do and where to go.
There you go. See, you have horror movie number 3 as an option for this. Yeah. One of us.
Really helping make a point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine a zombie movie where the zombies only show up in choreographed, synchronized dance?
So, thriller?
Thriller, yeah. You obviously also haven't seen the Disney Zombies, followed up by the sequel Zombies 2 and the Zombies 3, of course. I mean, rounding out the trilogy.
I'll get right on that right after I watch The Descendants.
Yeah. Which is... Okay.
Probably never.
At a quarter past.
No, I can't say never. Probably whenever my daughter reaches like 10.
There might be something new by then.
Seems like a 10-year-old movie.
Yeah. Have you guys seen the video out there of this final Dirty Dancing scene done to the Muppet Show theme?
No.
Amazing. It is amazing. Do yourself a favor and Google that at some point. You'll
definitely have to throw it up on the Facebook page when you release this episode.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hilarious. So, yeah, even though Johnny's not the one that stole the wallets, though, he still gets fired. And that's disappointing because Baby also came clean and like broke everybody's heart too. But you know, last time Marissa was here doing Ghost, we did a little I Used to Like This One Piece theater. And I think, you know, we didn't have any for her Earnest episodes, but I think we need to do a little I Used to Like This One Piece theater.
Noise.
Are we doing the dad scene?
No. Wait.
Okay.
Oh, no. So, Colin, Marissa, I have just sent you both scripts. I'm going to let you guys do this one because I think that'll be fun. I'll sit back and relax on this one. So this is the scene between Baby and Johnny where Baby finds out that the Schumachers were the ones guilty of stealing the wallets, but Johnny has to leave anyway. So, Marissa, I'm going to get you to play Baby. Yeah, Colin, we're going to have you play Johnny. Yeah, so let's see what they have to say, because there's some sentimental stuff thrown in here.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right. Get my Johnny Castle.
Get that swagger. Get the Swayze swagger. All right. Here we go. All right.
So then it's all right. I knew it would work out. I knew they would have to apologize.
I'm out, Baby.
They fired you anyway because of me.
And if I leave quietly, I'll get my summer bonus.
So I did it for nothing. I hurt my family, you lost your job anyway, I did it for nothing.
No, not for nothing, Baby. Nobody has ever done anything like that for me before.
You were right, Johnny. You can't win no matter what you do.
You listen to me. I don't want to hear that from you. You can.
I used to think so.
Yes! I used to like this One Piece theater. I love it. See, I mean, come on. It's not for nothing, Baby. Nobody's ever done that for me. I mean, that's real love. No one has ever stood up for him like that. But boy, does she disappoint her daddy, Jerry Orbach. Have you ever heard the John Mulaney bit about Jerry Orbach's eyes?
Mm-mm.
Oh. Well, apparently, according to this comedy bit, if it's true, but Jerry Orbach donated his eyes as one of his organ donations. So there's actually someone walking around with Jerry Orbach's eyes.
Wow.
Yeah. But the comedy bit is much funnier than that. But do yourself a favor. Google John Mulaney, Jerry Orbach's eyes.
I assume in the bit he plays more on like Law and Order than Dirty Dancing.
Oh yeah, 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 definitely. Yeah, jeez, I don't understand what my voice to text is doing here. Vagina gets fired anyways because of his relationship. Internet the night of the final presentation. My God, voice to text, fix yourself.
Yeah, what a vagina.
What a vagina. Oh, boy. Yeah. So Dr. Houseman decides that he wants to give Robbie some money for med school because, boy, he likes the cut of his jib. You know, that Robbie's a good kid, and Robbie's all like, whoa, thanks for bailing me out of that penny situation. What a moment.
When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong.
Oh my God, yeah. And he never actually says he's wrong. Right? Like when he actually... Now, okay, here's the other thing I've always wondered about that particular moment when he does talk to Johnny about when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. Where is Johnny going? Right? Like he and Baby decide to leave the dance floor for some reason and they get cut off in the doorway by Baby's daddy. And then... later on, they're in the middle of the dance floor again. So where were they going? Like, were they off for, like, a quickie and they're back already?
Totally.
Were they... Okay. or was this because this was before Dr. Houseman said that he was wrong? Like, is this... Okay, we got to sneak out here before your daddy sees me. You know, we're running off together.
Yeah, they were off to elope.
Yeah?
She's given up her Peace Corps life. They're going to move back to Havana. And started dancing school.
There you go. Yes. But because her daddy stopped him, he's like, okay, I guess your daddy accepts me, so we can dance a bit more.
Can you please stop saying daddy?
Daddy, baby, baby's daddy.
But it's the baby daddy.
Where was that scene? Daddy, baby, daddy, baby.
it's the game you play in pool before Marco Polo existed. You know? Everyone's like,
Daddy,
wait
no.
a minute.
Baby, yes.
Maybe we shouldn't be wandering around yelling baby daddy. Let's change it to Marco Polo. So yeah, I've got nothing else to say about this movie. Is anything else from you guys?
Oh shoot, there was one thing and I can't remember what it was now. Nope. I will say, however, their kisses were awkward to watch.
You think so?
Oh yeah. It was like,
well, I mean, they did hate each other.
I know, which makes so much more sense. Because I'm watching and I'm like, they're like when they're when their lips touch, there's like no like lip muscles being. It's just like this floppy lip action. I'm like,
floppy like, lip like action. There's the quote for the poster.
It's like they're in grade three and they've only seen people make out in movies, so they're like, people can't see. I'm making hand motions of just like bumping fists.
Well, now we understand why Patrick Swayze was so natural at being a digital version of himself in Ghost, right? Because that's how he kisses anyway, I guess.
Yeah. Yes.
Their love scene where they dance and then, you know, more than dance. I mean, I thought it was hot. I didn't think anything awkward about the kissing.
I find those things, I don't know, maybe it's just because I have no experience with it, but I find the weird dancing where they're just like, have one leg in between each other's legs, mm-hmm. and then they're just like writhing, like
like doing the worm
standing up,
yeah.
And then she's like going back like she's in a trance, and you're just like, okay, like I think she's done. I think she's done already.
For the record, I really wish that your viewers could see what just happened. On oh, good.
I think I got something else to post when this movie comes out.
Save that.
Well, there we go. That's Dirty Dancing.
Wait, I only have one thing left
to
say.
Oh, sorry. Okay, yeah.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Oh, no. There you go. They sure don't. And there we go. That's Dirty Dancing. Now, Colin, Marissa, on IMDb, it scored 7.0 out of 10. Has a Metascore of 65. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has 72% on the tomato meter and an audience rating of 90%. But, Colin, those are just numbers. Like Johnny Castle beating up Robbie, hit us with some reviews. Who puts baby in a corner? Nobody. That's who.
Who better than Bad Boy? Nobody.
Not even Chuck Norris can put baby in a corner.
Marion Fisher gives the movie 5 out of 5 stars and says, I'm 80 years old and have watched this movie a gazillion times and still can't wait to see it again. It gets a plus 10 from me. I'm spellbound when this movie is on. I stop whatever I'm doing and watch every minute of it. I cry throughout and laugh with them. This is a beautiful story. Love it.
Thank you, Ms. Fisher. Wow. However, if you consider that, I mean, you said 87?
80.
80? Yeah, I mean, when this movie came out, I mean, she was in her mid-40s. That's prime cougar, Magic Mike, sexy dancing age, right? I mean, yeah, this would have been a formative movie for.
I thought you were gonna say that's prime cougar Mellencamp.
Yes, talking about Little Pink Houses over here.
Jack and Diane.
Johnny and baby. Johnny and little ditty about Johnny baby.
Nathaniel John gives the movie 5 out of 5 stars, says, I was not expecting this film to be this good. When I first saw it, I thought it would be one of your normal romantic comedies with no twist in it, but it really wasn't. The cinematography and music was just on point. This would be a definite watch for whoever loves dancing and romantic comedies.
Yeah, okay.
I will lend you this one to go on, since we were talking about like alternative narratives.
Okay.
Andrew Girdler doesn't give a score, but says, pedophile grooms 17-year-old girl and drives a wedge between her and her parents so he can take advantage of her, but gets away with it because he's good-looking and is a bit of a dancer. Great music.
Oh, my. Cool. Jeez. And not a single mention of the abortion. I didn't think she was 17. I thought she was supposed to be 19.
I got the impression she was post-high school, at least.
Yeah, because she had been away to the Peace Corps. I don't think she's still underage.
Mm-hmm.
Or can you go away for the Peace Corps at 17? I don't know. I was under the impression that she was older. Because I was reading facts like the person that played Mrs. Houseman was only like 12 years older than them, than the two daughters. So I was reading facts like that. So like Jennifer Grey was... I think it said 9 years older, and she was 28 at the time or something. Yeah, so, I don't know. Yeah. I don't think she's underage. I don't think it's a story of grooming. Johnny Castle is a stand-up dude. He just needed that woman that made him fall in love.
This unnamed Rotten Tomatoes reviewer gave it 0.5 out of 5 and says, a diabolical film. If you're watching this to impress a partner, the only reason I can see, then trust me, they're not worth the hour and a half sacrifice you'll make watching this.
Ouch.
A plot as transparent as cling film and acting as rigid as cardboard.
Well then.
Oh my.
Can't please everyone, I guess.
True.
Yeah. Oh, this person comes to the defense. Another unnamed person, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm sorry. What kind of depressed loner is rating these films? 68%? Really? It deserves a 150% at minimum. It is literally the best film of all time. The person who rated it must be so depressed whenever they watch it that they gave it a horrible score. I'm so disappointed in Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow. Yeah. No mercy given.
I know. Comes out guns blazing. 150%!
Minimum!
God! Don't you understand what a cinematic masterpiece this is? They all went out there and gave it 150%.
See, now here's my question, though, because I guess I never really thought of this before. Are we reading reviews from, like, recent or back then when it first came out?
No, these are free from, like, these are more recent, like, from, like, 2020 to, like, the current...
Comparatively, sure, they probably think that this movie's garbage, but like I bet back then,
steamy. I feel like the majority of the reviews for this movie are pretty positive, from what I can see.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, things like we only have critics' reviews. I mean, maybe that 80-year-old woman. I'm sure she probably saw it when it came out.
That's fair.
That's right.
She
left a stain on the seat in her theater.
Ew!
Gross. Okay, this is the last one. Okay. Another unnamed reviewer, 5 out of 5 stars. This dirty, sexy, flirty film will have you on a stinky roller coaster ride of emotions. I said stinky because it will impress the shit out of you. My sister loves this movie so much she can no longer watch it because it will make her so sexually frustrated and depressed. This movie is hot, 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 and not for the weak.
Wow.
Is that hot, hot, hot with an A-W or an O?
Well, it's all caps H-O-T.
Okay.
Wow.
They wanted to put fire emojis in there. You know they wanted to.
Yeah, for sure they did.
100.
I'm gonna have to remember that. A stinky roller coaster ride of emotions.
Someone got a thesaurus was my first thought until they explained why it's stinky. Right on. So yeah, 7 and 90 out of audiences, 72 and 65 out of critics. You know, I don't mind admitting that I like Dirty Dancing. I enjoy this movie when I watch it. I've got no problem admitting that I watched it alone, without pants. I'm kidding.
Okay.
No, I've got no problem admitting that I like Dirty Dancing. It's a fun movie. It moves by fast. And, you know, whatever. It deserves its positive things because it's the soundtrack pulls you through the movie. But my God, like when you realize just how dark the actual story is, it's like, ugh. Everything centers around the event, which is never explicitly named. I don't know. I still like Dirty Dancing. I still have fun in the dance numbers. I'm still, you know, like Colin said, the scene, the Mickey, you know, hey, Mickey, hey, Sylvia scene. That one is just as fun as the final number. That one, you know, it's got all those great moments that, I still like Dirty Dancing. Nothing bad to say. Marissa, Dirty Dancing. I'm assuming you still love it.
Okay, so listen. The last time I did a Patrick Swayze number with you guys, I had all these problems because I was like, ew, I didn't recognize all these things that now I hate. I have one thing to say.
Okay.
150% minimum.
Minimum.
I still loved every single minute of it. There were some things where I chuckled. Like I said, their kissing was like, you know, two dead fish. But like, It was. Oh, I still love it. I want to watch it again. I'm that 80-year-old woman.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we got to do this because it gave me an excuse to watch it again. Not that I needed one, but yes, 150% minimum.
Nice. Right on. Colin, Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, it definitely impressed the shit out of me.
So
it's a stinky roller coaster.
Yeah, no, I agree with you guys. I think Dirty Dancing is a great watch. It's a fun movie. It's just like a fun fluff romantic movie. I mean, Patrick Swayze's still a dime. I feel like Jennifer Grey, unreal. It's just hot.
Yeah, good movie.
Yeah. Right on. I will say watching this again really makes me miss him, seeing him on the big screen. I really miss his work.
Yeah, it's kind of too bad Christmas in Wonderland kind of was the end of it.
Oh, was that the last movie he ever did?
I don't know if that's the last one, but it's up there as one of the last ones, I think. Well, I don't know. Here we go. Do some of our patented live Googling on the show here.
Maybe I'll do a Patrick Swayze marathon.
Patrick Swayze marathon?
Yeah, I was trying to think. What else do I... I've actually really only discovered Patrick Swayze through doing this show.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, Christmas in Wonderland was like his fifth last movie.
Oh.
Yeah. Voice in the Fox and the Hound 2 was after that.
Didn't know he did that.
We'll be friends forever. That's the saddest movie.
Yeah. I don't know. All Dogs Go to Heaven is the first movie that made me cry. So.
I love that movie!
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know what else can be said about this movie except that I think we just had the times of our lives.
God, go away.
And there we go! That is Dirty Dancing, and that's our show for this week. Oh boy, big huge thank you to our resident Dirty Dancing super fan, Marissa Dingle. Thank you for joining us, Marissa.
Thanks again for having me, guys. Totally worth the wait.
So what's the next one?
Good question. I'll let you know.
I don't know. Colin brought up Pretty Woman. You gotta...
I would do Pretty Woman. You guys haven't done that yet?
No.
Oh, I would totally do that.
If you like that show, one thing you can do to really help us out on the business end is, well, you know, like and subscribe to our show for one, and then tell your friends about our show and get them to like and subscribe to our show. or go on to whatever podcast app you listen to your podcasts on and give us some stars. Give us 5 stars in a review. Help drive us up some charts. Help us get noticed. Doesn't matter what you say in the review. Say they're holding a gun to my head and they're making me write this review. I don't care. Just give us a review and help, you know, those computers find us and drive us up those charts. Or if you want to go, I had a bit of a, some of that Donald Trump stank on that. Drive us up those charts.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. It's going to be huge. There's lots of fabulous things happening. Or if you want to go a step further and be a supporter of the show and become an executive producer, go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne and you become part of the Patreon family and you get a shout out just like our executive producer, Joshua Blum of the 13th Hour Podcast.
And be sure to check out our website, www.IUsedToLikeThisOne.com, where you can find links to all of our podcast episodes and our social media pages. And drop us a line at IUsedToLikeThisOne@gmail.com and let us know what movies you used to like. And then maybe you'll find us talking about them on the show.
I Used to Like This One is created by, hosted by, and produced by Sean Wells and Colin Stewart. It is edited by Sean Wells, music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band Carter in the Capitals anywhere you listen to music. Oh, and if you would like to hear more from me and my stories of being a bus driver, check out my other podcast, In Front of the Yellow Line, anywhere pods are cast. Thank you for listening, and join us next time when we take a look at another movie on I Used to Like This One. Ah, yeah.
That was wicked fun.
That was a lot of fun.
I think that was my favorite one yet.
It was a good time.
I don't know whether I like talking about movies I absolutely love or absolutely hate more. Because, like, it's hard to, usually hard to find stuff to talk about with the ones you absolutely love. But, no, this still, this went okay.
Yeah. Seriously, that was a lot of fun. Holler at me anytime.
Yeah, absolutely.